Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome. Today I'm joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman at Besant Resources. How are you today, Colin?
Good, thank you. You?
I'm doing fine. I noticed that you had an RNS out today and looks pretty decent. So maybe you can run through that.
Well, the RNS came out because, you know, that I guess that when we announced the deal that it was all a blanket York category resource without much specific information on drilling and what have you. And this really gets down to some of the boreholes in one of the drilling campaigns. And when I see 23 metres at 1.59, that's serious stuff. When I see 7 metres at 5.2%, 3% copper, with the gold of 1.37, the gold is big enough to support a mine. Likewise, we're on, let's go for some of the, 10.12 metres at 5.7 and 0.56 gold, 7 metres at 5.28 and 1.14. They're serious results. So we're getting the point out there that, if you go back a few years, copper and gold together were probably not that popular. They might have given you metallurgical problems, but, I make the point there, you can get 96% of the copper out and 84% of the gold. And that is an excellent concentrate grade of 28%. So, excellent stuff, Zach, but...
The main thing here is the quality of the resource.
The quality of the resource, yes, but next door, is a mine called Gorob. And Gorob, for some reason, has got similar copper grades, and yet the gold doesn't appear. Then when we got stuck into the archives, it was a bit of a puzzle when we first looked at it. They didn't test for gold. So I'm pretty sure now that when we get into the gold there and drill in the Gorob, that we will find the gold-copper ratios are pretty much the same. And so the resource will be made bigger very quickly by drilling further holes at Gorob and, of course, testing for gold as well as copper. But the big thing here is, and I guess it's hidden somewhere, as they always are in these RNSs, there's 150 kilometres, Zach, which has not been tested. That's my target. Instead of having, I would thank you very much, 10 million tonnes at York quality is nice to have, but 150 kilometres, where we know that mineralisation trend extends, that really is the big prize and the attractive prize. The chance that in a metal which is very, very, very popular at the moment, copper, and I don't think gold's sitting in the doldrums either, the chance of 150 kilometres of repeating the sort of results we're seeing here. Very, very exciting, Jack.
Right, I mean, you've got a market cap of less than 2 million at the moment on Besant.
That's right.
You don't actually have to dig or find or produce a lot of metal in order to justify that kind of market cap. What is the sort of the route to production, and what's the journey that you're seeing?
Well, this can be very quick into production. So there's two activities going on together here. You've got to prove up that gold at Gorob, and then there's enough justification, enough gold to actually build a 7,000 to 10,000 tons a year. For 10 years type operation, and then of course concurrent with that, not 10 years but concurrent over the next year or so, is to get into that 150 kilometres with the possibility or the probability, because we do know that there's little workings dotted along the whole 150 kilometres, and the proposition of turning this into a big copper district. That's my ambition. Not talking about a little mine there with 10 million tonnes beavering away. Very nice, thank you very much, for the market cap at 2 million. That would be a very nice mine with quite a long life and the very, very cheap mining methods. But no, the ambition for the company is to basically get into that 150 kilometres and find much of the same, and of course get some gold assays out of Gorob.
Right, and just to
plan, and it's Zach, years ago the airborne geophysics and junior mining companies mutually exclusive on costs, but nowadays that's not the case, and for not much more than $100,000, $150,000, we'll be able to actually fly at 150 kilometres. So it's not going what the typical junior does, go to an old working and start doing a bit of test work around there. It's really doing professional work, high-grade technical work, to decide what next and where next, with an objective of growing this project with much of the same in a metal which, you know, I firmly believe is only just starting to move. And it's not bad to have gold in the same bed as well.
Yeah, I wanted to underline really, we were talking offline about the quality of the copper resource. Could you just mention that, so it's clear, let's say, for the audience?
Well, the copper values, as I say, that at the moment, over the last 15 years, the average grade of copper has dropped from 1.13 to 0.62. And the worst result I see here is 1.14. And all our other figures are 1.7s. And, you know, you will probably know when you look at the results, the longer the intersection, the lower the grade, but very significant at 1.47. is 2 times the world average. So if it thins, it's extremely high grade. It's a mining width which is quite acceptable. And where it goes wider, as I say, it's 2 times the average grade being worked around the planet. So these are superior grades. But as I said also again previously, that when you're talking about a 96% copper recovery, Zach, that's unusual. That is very good recovery. And a 28% copper grade is extremely good when you're normally looking at 16 to 22. So here we are with a concentrate grade of 28%. So that's great stuff. And, that's conventional flotation. It's not sort of any fancy metallurgical test work. So this is a very, very good subject. And quite frankly, I'm delighted that we picked it up for our shareholders.
And finally, it's obviously it was difficult to predict these things, but seeing copper, it's about a third off, 30% plus off the lows of March. Are you looking for a sort of a real breakout for the metal over the near term?
Well, the emergence of mankind, and okay, for Corona set it back for a couple of months, but the emergence of mankind means that the copper demand is obviously going to increase year on year. Electric vehicles, there's 5 times more copper used in an electric vehicle. As I say, the disposable income around the world, a redundant, obsolete power generation system in the States. They are talking about 2030 doubling the demand for copper. If it goes up half as much again, the demand, I don't know where it's going to come from. So I find it quite remarkable that copper is sitting at 5.4 when we're probably in the middle. I mean, we like to think we've got to the end of this virus. When we're in the middle of this, in the middle of this virus, it's basically now about $600 higher than the ton when it started. And I'm merrily looking, I really am very ambitious for this time next year for $7,500 a ton copper price. And, a combination of electric vehicles, a cleaner planet, just sheer demand for those items that work for copper. It's not difficult to look at $9,000 in 2023. It really isn't. So delighted with them that copper has actually emerged. And as I say, no bad thing to have gold knocking along at the side of the copper, which is running, as we all know, at extraordinary highs. And I guess if Donald Trump gets another term, that with the geopolitical situations that manages to engender around the world, copper can gold can look forward to similar levels. So, as I say, the results we've got there is almost a gold. You're almost looking at gold mine capability, but the two metals together is very, very good.
Colin Bird, Executive Chairman at Besant Resources, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Zach. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.